You can get 3 months of The Spectator for just £15, plus a free bottle of Paul Roger champagne if you go to spectator.co.uk/fizz24. This offer is UK only and subject to availability.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots. I'm James Seal and I'm joined today by The Spectator's political editor Katie Pauls and Danny Shaw, former advisor to Yvette Cooper. Now, today the government has announced its plans to deal with the prisons crisis. There's plans to build four new big prisons across the country over the coming years. Katie, talk us through the announcement by Shabana Mahmood, the Justice Secretary, today.
So this is the 10-year strategy that they're publishing. And obviously one of the first acts of a Labour government was to release a whole load of prisoners. This was not something they particularly wanted to do, but they inherited a situation of overcrowding, as we've discussed previously. And as Liam Booth-Smith, actually, on a recent Coffee House Shots that we published on Saturday, soon actually for staff, talked about, I think when it came to the options available, the past government saw running the system hot and the potential problems that brings up as preferable to releasing prisoners early. The view of the Labour government when they came in is this is not sustainable. What happens if there is an overspill, potential riots and so forth, and therefore you've had two waves of releases. The 10-year strategy is Shabana Mahmood trying to get on the front foot and say this is the longer term plan for how we're going to deal with prisons. And as you say, James, it's creating a few new ones. That's going to mean 14,000 more prison places in England and Wales by 2031 if they hit their target. And when Shabana Mahmood was talking about it this morning and her media round, she was talking about how the current state of prisons is appalling, they're under huge stress, that ultimately this is more than just an overcrowding crisis, more needs to be done, and demand is rising faster than supply. I think one of the things that's been picked up on very quickly is even with these 14,000 new places, there is probably not enough places in the future to cope with the current demand, which then leads on to questions about sentencing and rehabilitation. And you go from Labour releasing prisoners early when they didn't want to will Labour eventually move to a system where they are choosing to have fewer custodial sentences, to not send particularly, for example, women prisoners, to not send some groups to prison in the way they currently do. And that links to the sentencing review being done by David Gawk, which is due to return around spring next year. So I think this is the first stage. But while this is talking about places, you look at the appointment of James Timpson as prisons minister, someone who really strongly believes in rehabilitation. And I think that there's two separate things going on when it comes to the release of prisoners under emergency measures, and which something Labour says they don't want to do. And I think a longer term move probably to fewer custodial sentences generally.
And Danny, I mean, there seems to be a bit of cynicism, I think, from the people involved in the prison services today. The Prison Governors Association has come out and said, well, you know, it all sounds good, but until we see any progress, we're actually not going to sort of believe it's going to happen. Do you think that now this time, given the planning changes that they're proposing as part of this plan to enable effectively ministers to choose where prisons should be built, that's going to enable them to kind of go through local objections and actually get some more prisons built across the country?
I think that's the key question with all this, because when you look at the planning delays in the past, it is clear that that has been the big blocker to getting these prisons built. This document that the Ministry of Justice has published, the 10-year prison capacity strategy, says that they would have had 5,000 extra places available by 2027 had there not been delays in building three new prisons in Lancashire, Buckinghamshire and Leicestershire. The delays were up to almost 3.5 years for those prisons. Now, they've got various measures that they want to bring in to circumvent these planning holdups. They're going to try and secure planning permission through the Crown development route, which means that the case for prison will go directly to the planning inspectorate, and the Secretary of State for Local Government, in this case Angela Rayner, will be able to make a decision. So that will override some of the local objections. But there are other issues as well. Even if they manage to sort of get that route on board, there are environmental concerns, there are power upgrades, and there are rules around that that have to be dealt with. And then you have the issues around cost. I mean, the costs of this project, this building project, has already ballooned from around £5 billion in 2021 to an estimated around £10 billion if all these prisons are built. And it could increase further because of the cost of construction, supply line problems, and so on. And also, one of the other factors playing into this, which has been downplayed, I think, a bit, to be honest, is the collapse of a big construction firm called ISG, which has gone into administration. And that has been a massive headache for officials over the past couple of months, because ISG were responsible for building something like 3,700 places and repairing or upgrading a further 4,000. And so there are going to be delays because of that. So I think there are still a lot of question marks over this strategy, even though I think it's very welcome that at last we do have a government that is sort of thinking strategically and laying out its plans in an open and transparent way.
And Danny, on that point for Katie made about the sentencing review, is it likely the sort of mood music we're getting out of the Labour ministers that they are going to be sort of pushing for an approach that, you know, builds more prisons, but also is willing to embrace looking at how few people, how many people should be going to prison in the first place?
Yeah, that is the other side of the plan, if you like. Build more prisons, but also reform the way sentencing works. They're looking at replacing some short prison sentences with community terms, and also increasing the robustness of community sentences in terms of curfews, tagging options, so that, you know, you can have fewer people being sent to prison. You can have really good alternatives for judges and magistrates that they have confidence in. As well as that, I think it might look at whether there are some existing sentences that could be shortened in some ways. Do you really need to send people to prison for 15 or 20 years, or could that be shortened? And potentially linking behaviour in prisons, education, training, general conduct in prisons to an ability to release prisoners early. I think, look, the Gawke review is very well intentioned, but I think it has overlooked a little bit the importance of prison for victims and for communities who need a break from offenders sometimes. And, you know, very important to look at tackling reoffending, to look at rehabilitation, but don't forget how people feel about the fact that when someone is sentenced, they want a punishment that they feel fits the crime. It's a very powerful emotion, that. That's why I think the government's got to tread very carefully with the recommendations from the Gawke review.
It's a really good point. And I think it's one of the things that does worry figures in the MOJ, which is there is not currently an easy way to lock as many people up as you want to. And of course, or as opposition parties particularly would say they want to. And of course, ahead of the election, it was quite a lock them up narrative coming from Labour. And you even look today at, you know, Robert Jenrick, the Shadow Justice Secretary, in his response, where he's talking about dangerous people should not be released early. And I think both the Tories and Labour is often the Justice Secretary has to keep saying to their colleagues, guys, your answer to everything whenever you need an announcement is say tougher sentences, longer sentences as a way to, you know, play well to voters and so forth. And then they're saying, well, only do that if you can find me the prison spaces and the money for this. I think Siobhan Reid once had a ban on people suggesting it until they could point to where the money was coming from. But it means when you're talking about the Gawke review and some of the sentencing decisions coming up, one of the things they're looking at is this idea of, are there ways that you can suggest it's tough justice and there's punishment going on while the offender is staying within the community? For example, can you make home imprisonment, if it's down to a tag and things, seem like more of a punishment than being in jail? I think that's hard to do, but you look to, you know, when you hear about Texas-style reforms and things, often it's looking to the US and the technology there. But conveying that to voters and the communities where there's antisocial behaviour and that person is still looking around, it just probably doesn't feel enough like that is a response. And one of the big challenges, I think, right now for Siobhan Mamoon and her team is to work out, if someone doesn't go to the prison, how does the community feel as though they're still getting justice? Might be technology and various things they have to do, but it's certainly a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, you remember the outcry when Hugh Edwards was sentenced for indecent images offences, and he got a suspended prison term with community order. And for many of us who understand the criminal justice system, know how it works, we never thought he was going to go to prison. We always thought he would get a suspended sentence, and so we weren't surprised. But the outcry amongst the public and the press, obviously some newspapers and so on, was massive because they saw the details of his offending and the fact he didn't go to prison. And this is actually was very much in keeping with other offenders like him as well. And just remember that when, you know, if the government comes up with some options that mean that more people will not go to prison or go to prison for less time, just remember that is where public opinion and the opinion of some people is around sentencing and punishments. So that's why I think, Kate, you're absolutely right, the government's got to tread a very delicate line on this.
And law and order was one of those issues, Katie, where the Conservatives were probably seen to have failed after 14 years in government. Immigration was the other, and that was the topic which Kevin Badenoch chose to put all her six questions at PMQ today to focus on.
Yes, and she was partly pegging it in light of what's been happening in Syria. So the question of, Yvette Cooper this week saying there will not be any more Syrian refugees coming for the time being and asking Keir Starmer about his own record. And she landed some blows. The problem for Kemi Badenoch is, of course, Keir Starmer could just reply saying, hang on a minute, what happened under the Tories? That long period of incumbency just coming back to haunt her. And he also said, you know, this is like the arsonist complaining about the firefighters. It did make you wonder if the winner from the exchange was actually Nigel Farage and the Reform Party, just in the sense that it was almost like a plague on both your houses in the exchange. I don't think it was a bad performance for Kemi Badenoch. I think that it just shows, you know, it is something she's going to have to find a way to talk about while also obviously living with the record of the Conservative government. It's also an area where I think Labour are in a bit of trouble on. If you look at the number of small boat crossings, yes, legal migration is down, but that is largely down to measures put in by the Conservatives. And lots of voters would probably still say it's too high if you look at the numbers. So it's going to be a rich seam by which to try and criticise Labour in the coming years unless something changes. Kemi Badenoch needs to find a way where she can be the one, you know, pushing and prosecuting that argument so it isn't just Nigel Farage. And it took Keir Starmer a while to get to the point. I remember when he started going on immigration as leader of the opposition at Prime Minister's Question, we were going, wow, a weakness of Labour. Now he feels confident enough to do. So I think her party will be glad that she's trying to find a space to do it, but it is very much a work in progress.
Thank you, Danny. Thank you, Katie. And thank you for joining us on today's Home Affairs-themed episode of Coffee Hour Shots.